Morning to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Okay, hopefully now we're at the point where we can get at the same starting line on Romans, which we've been trying to do for the last three or four times, but because of weather and so forth, it's been hard. So we should be all of us at the same point. So we're ready to begin Romans chapter 6. And in doing that, we are also starting the doctrine of sanctification. Because 1 through 5 deals entirely with the subject of justification by faith. Now, Romans 6, 7, 8 talks about sanctification by faith. The chapter easily revolves about two questions. The first question is in 6:1 and is derived from 5:20. It's a very logical question. 5:20 has said in the last half, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. And the logic, therefore, would be this. If sin makes grace to abound, then we ought to sin so grace will have its chance to abound. And the idea, therefore, is if sin rises to this level, we can be sure that God's grace will arise to this level. And if sin arises to this, grace will catch up and overflow it. And so, the question that comes out of chapter 6 and verse 1 is, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? So, question 1. Shall we continue in sin? Please note, by the way, and we'll come to the details of it later, it does not say, shall we continue to sin? It says, shall we continue in sin? And the emphasis is so that grace can abound. Shall we continue in sin so that grace will abound? The answer to that is 6, 2 through 14. Second question is, shall we continue to sin because grace abounds? Shall we continue? And the emphasis now is because grace abounds. And the two key words or operational words for those two key questions in Romans 6 are so that and because. The first one is, shall we keep on sinning to give grace an opportunity to abound? But 15, and if you look at it, changes slightly. It says, what then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under law, but under grace. So because grace so abounds, shall we go on sinning? And the answer to that is 6, 16 through 23. So very simple questions form the framework for Romans chapter 6. And it all revolves about the concept of grace. And coming into the chapter, the detractors of Paul, or those that take the wrong road, simply say, well, if sin causes grace to abound, let's keep on sinning. And Paul will respond to that emotionally, and he will say, God forbid. And then the second question is, since grace does abound in every case, then in order to make grace more obvious, shall we continue to sin? So those are the two questions. There is also, remember, a critical noun, critical word, and it is the word the sin. It appears in your translation only as sin. Every single time you see the noun sin in Romans chapter 6, it is always, always the sin. So you come into chapter 6 and verse 1. Are we continue in the sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, may it never be. How shall we who died to the sin still live in it? And therefore is the problem, what do we mean the sin? And there are three options. I believe only one is correct, but there are three ways that can be interpreted. Does he mean sin as an abstraction? cannot mean that. The reason it cannot mean that is because there's an article in front of it. It's not talking about sin. So when we come to Romans 6:1, are we to continue in sin? And you think of sin as an abstraction? That's not what he's talking about. It cannot be. So number one cannot be right. Does he mean sin as an act? Shall we continue to commit acts of sin? And the reason number one is wrong is no, because of the article, the sin. Number two is wrong because it is sin, not a verb. Verbs talk about actions. And he does not say, shall we continue on sinning, which would be a verb. So one and two is not right. The only thing then left is it must be sin as a nature. And that is talking about the predisposition or the tendency to sin. And I think even if we didn't argue biblically, every believer will admit that there is something on the inside of you that beckons towards sin. Something that says, do this. It's not right, but do this. And we experience the continuing promptings to sin, tendency to sin, temptation to sin, leaning toward it, the activity that says, do this, and the do this is contrary to the Word of God. It's the tendency not to obey Him, to disobey Him, to do what is contrary toward the Word, and the believer lives with what we call the sin nature. The sin nature. Now, a couple of distinctions, and we've already made them, but they're so important, and we are going to do a lot of review today to bring everyone up, hopefully, to the starting line on Romans 6, is what is different between justification and sanctification. Now, you may be saying, these words, sanctification, don't mean a whole lot to me. Well, let me tell you what they really mean. Sanctification is the whole Christian life. And not to be interested in what is involved in sanctification is exactly equivalent to say, I'm not interested in the Christian life. Just like to have no interest in what justification is to say, I have no interest in what it means to be saved or what it means to be a Christian. And so, if justification is what it means to be a Christian, how is sanctification different? And we're ready to go over that line. First, justification is an act. Sanctification is a process. That means we are justified by faith once for all. Sanctification is the process that follows us. Justification is for us. Sanctification is in us. Justification declares us righteous. Sanctification makes us righteous. Justification clears us from the guilt or frees us from the guilt of sin. Sanctification frees us from the power of sin. So notice the two are greatly different. Certainly sanctification cannot happen unless we are justified. If we have not experienced the act of justification, we certainly can't experience the process of it. If we haven't realized what Christ did for us, then we'll have no interest in an understanding of what He wants to do in us. It's because He's given us a standing that He does something in us. Justification declares us to be righteous. We are made righteous in life by sanctification. One has to do with guilt, one has to do with power, and two other words we need to understand. Justification deals with our standing before God. Sanctification deals with our state. First one is how we stand. The second one is how we live. And those are two vitally important ideas. One other thought before we go into the text in detail. Several of you have been bothered by the sheets having to flip back and forth. It's a new projector, and they don't come with the crank on it, but it will be here soon. Okay, how do Romans 6, 7, and 8 relate to one another? Chapter 6 is mechanics. Chapter 8 is dynamics. Chapter 7 is how to mess it up. Monkey wrench. Very simply, Romans 6 is this kind of teaching. Here is the overhead projector turned on. It's throwing light on the screen. It's off. That's Romans 6. This is what you were. When Christ died on the cross, you died to what empowered you. And it cut off like that. Can I turn it on again? On it goes. And what he's going to say in Romans chapter 6 is at the cross, Christ died and you died with him. And we're getting into some really new truth because we've all learned from the first chapters of Romans that Christ died for us. Now he's saying you died with him. He's saying what happened at the cross was for your benefit. But there's also another truth. You were there. And that's the identification idea coming on to Romans 6. And it's very, very little understood, but it is essential. Because it's going to come on with a very dynamic truth. And it's going to say, every time we sin, we do not sin because we had to. We sin because we chose to. And the way you overcome it is choose not to. And that's going to be the very simple, look down at chapter 6, for example, in verse 12. There's no self-crucifying, nothing like that. You just act on the facts that we're about to learn. And therefore, verse 12 is going to be very simple. Therefore, do not allow sin to reign. Hard to understand? Do not allow sin to reign. Verse 13, do not go on presenting. And why is he going to say that? Is he picturing a great struggle? Not really. He's saying, don't go on yielding to the sin nature because you don't have to. It is a mechanical arrangement set up by God whereby the connection is cut loose and we do not have to. And I hope we'll find a wonderful truth. When we find out that we do not have to do something, we're on the grounds for stopping doing it. It's a wonderful, relaxing, helpful doctrine that we're coming to in this particular section. So 6 is mechanics. 7 is just loaded with truth about the Holy Spirit. And we'll describe what Paul talks about in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. What he talks about in Ephesians about walking by the Spirit. He's going to say that's the dynamic that makes the engine go. 6 is the engine, 8 is the gas. 6 is the mechanics, 7 is what makes the mechanics operate. Now, if you choose, you can throw a monkey wrench in the whole thing. And it's called self-dependence. As long as we depend upon ourselves rather than the efficacy of the cross, we're in trouble. And that's basically where we've come so far. Now, commentary is based around Romans 6, 1 through 4. And it revolves about a question, first, 6:1a, followed by an answer. And this will be easy. It's going to say, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Answer, God forbid. Why? Reasons. And the reasons will be two. One, you have died. And you are identified. Now, these may be brand new truths to you, but you find them very important and essential to this part of the Word of God and really to the Christian life. The "you have died" is this, and I'll paraphrase it. If you died in Kansas City January 1st, how can you be walking on the streets of Kansas City on January 21st? And that's an easy question to answer, isn't it? If you died January 1st and were buried, how can you be walking on the streets 3 weeks later? And the answer is, from the standpoint of mechanics, you can't. And this is what he's going to teach when he says in Romans 6, verse 2, and notice the question-answer motif, what shall we say then? Are we to continue? By the way, that word "continue" is important. It's a word that means to dwell in your home or to dwell as a guest in someone else's home. How, and it's the idea of cordial relations, of hospitality. Are we continue hospitable to our sin nature? One thing that's important, and most Christians get this all wrong, confusing the relationship to the sin nature with the presence of it. It's present, but Paul is dealing with the relationship to it, and the relationship to it is expressed in terms of we died to it. So how should we continue in cordial relationships with the sin nature that grace may increase? Answer, God forbid, may it never be, perish the thought. All of those translations will do. Now, here's the reason why. How shall we who died, please notice, and really if you get nothing else, please note this. It does not say we are to die to. It does not say we are to crucify ourselves. It says we who died. It is a, how do we put it today? We died with Christ on the cross is a done deal. Absolutely done deal. Nothing to do now. It happened then. So that, if we can picture this way. Right here is the cross. We are removed from the cross by almost 2,000 years. So put yourself right over there. You look back in justification and said, he died over here for me. And you're looking back in time to a historic event that has already happened, and you look back in time and say, he died for me back there. Paul says, got that down clear. You look over your shoulder, and Christ died for you back there. He died for you. Now Paul is going to say, are you ready for a new move? Can I teach you something brand new about living the Christian life? When you look back and said, he died for me back there, and believe it, you are freed from the guilt of sin and the penalty of sin. Now, what about its power in your life now? Okay, take yourself over here. And this is hard to do because we're so time-bound, aren't we? We can't think of anything without thinking time. And we always think of the cross in past time. Now, grab this. You're right over here. Picture yourself as lifted up and in God's eyes, put here. He died for you. We died with him. And that's the viewpoint of Romans chapter 6. In God's eyes, time disappears. So that the way we look at things is simply this. Here is the cross. Here we are. And when we talk about Christ died, he died for us. And between us and the cross is time. Now, God says, I want you to divorce from your mind time. And in my eyes, here's the way it looks. It looks like this. We died with him, and the element of time in our minds has to disappear. Now, that's hard. Grant, that is hard to do, isn't it? In fact, everything out there is works against the Christian life. That's why so few Christians are successful with the Christian life. We live in a time-bound atmosphere, don't we? We live in a world of material reality. And this is not a material fact. That's a spiritual truth. And until we begin to grasp spiritual truth, then we can't have spiritual impact. And this is hard to do because we're so time-bound that it's hard to think that way. But that's the vantage point of Romans chapter 6. And God is saying, just please, can you forget this for a minute? Between you and Christ, there is no time. Between you and the cross, there is no time. You were truly there. Now, unfortunately, Romans 6 gets confused because of some of the teaching that, well, very frankly, I don't know how else to put it, doesn't understand an aorist tense. Verse 2, we died is an aorist tense. It's an event. It's done. Finished. It's over with. It's complete. And yet, have you been exposed to the type of thing that says, now, if you're a Christian, you are going to have to die to your sin nature? So get a hand up there and start pounding in nails. Have you ever met one of those miserable people? They look like they're pounding in nails. They act like they're pounding in nails. They're miserable. And they communicate misery. There's nothing in the Bible about saying you crucify yourself. Self-crucifixion is wrong. Self-crucifixion is carnality. Self-crucifixion is false doctrine. And I don't care who teaches it, it is false doctrine. Romans 6 is you died, 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 and for good measure you died, you died, you died, you died, and to make it clear, you died, you died, you died, you died. And that's all through the concept of Romans chapter 6, and it's a fundamental basic context. Now, let's go back to that question again, and maybe I can teach it a little different way, and it's this. When you begin Romans chapter 6, and notice the text, what shall we say then? Question. Sometimes a question makes you ask a question, and Romans 6:1 begins with a question that makes you ask a question. What shall we say then? What's your question? Say then to what? If you meet someone on the street and would say that, what shall we say then? They'll look at you and say, huh? And they would say then to what? Well, that's the way Romans 6 begins. What shall we say then? Say then to what? And for that, I'll go right straight back to the say then to what? Romans 5:20. B. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. What shall we say then to that? Are we going to do this? Are we going to say, we'll continue in sin that grace may abound? So, the objector comes up to Paul and says something like this, and I'm paraphrasing now. Paul, do you mean to tell me that God will forgive sin as long as we commit them? Paul says, yes, that's what I mean. The objector says, if that's true, we should keep on sinning so grace will abound. And Paul responds to that and says, God forbid. That's the last thing. Notice, by the way, that logic can be sinful. We tend to worship logic. It's so. And hey, is it not logical? If you sin, grace overcomes. You sin again and grace overcomes. Isn't it logical that we should go on sinning? Makes good logical sense, but it's not biblical. And Paul responds to it emotionally. He says, may it never be, but it is a sort of, what shall we say, ungodly logic. And the emphasis then comes down to verse 2. May it never be. How shall we who died, we may not feel that? That's not the point. The point is, it happened. We who died to the sin nature still live in it. So verse 2, key words, are separated from it. And may we say, this is saying we died is not a quibble over words. It's a matter of fact. It's a matter of the state. God wants us to believe it, not try to do again something that he's already done. So then, The logic proceeds down in verses 3 and 4. And let's see if we can read it now and have some good understanding of it. Verse 3. By the way, and I meant to mention this next hour, which we will do, but let me give you now the key words on getting this whole thing into an operational state. There are three words that we need. Know, consider, yield. Know, consider, yield. If you're a King James Version user, I believe for consider you have count. Has anyone got count? No one? Well, write it if you don't have it.
What verse?
Oh, Romans 6, one of the verses. Okay, let me trace these out. Okay, 6. No is 6, 2, 3, 9. I've got mine traced together in pencil. Verse 3, or do you not know? Verse 6, knowing this. Verse 9, knowing that. Now, I'm missing some of your translations. Do y'all have that? Do we have some form of know? Know in verse 2, or verse 3 rather. Do you not know? 6, knowing this. 9, knowing that. Know, knowing this, knowing that. So notice it's the idea of you need information. Here's what you ought to know. Do you know this? And the question revolving about knowing is, did you not know that when he went to the cross, so did you? Is that new to you, Paul says? Well, you need to know that. That when he died, you died with him. That's important. So it's no, no, no. Now, knowing has to go a step further. You have to count on it. And that comes down now to verse 9, verse 11. Okay, Lee, that's the verse you're talking about, 6:11. And in New American Standard, I have even so consider yourselves. Someone have reckon or count or what do you got? Reckon? Okay, consider, reckon. It's the word logizomai that was used for putting something down in a ledger. So count on it as so. Count on it would be good. Oh, you died? Count on it. Count on it. Now, there's only one thing left for you to do. And I've put yield. Verse 12. Therefore, do not let. Verse 13, do not go on presenting yourselves. And I keyed off the word presenting yourselves. The members of your body to sin as instruments of righteousness, but present. And I would key off that verb, but present. Yield. What else you got?
Offer.
NIV. Okay, offer yourselves to God as alive from the dead, and so forth. But notice the idea. Here is where volition comes into the picture. And here's what he's saying. It's not a matter of, I don't think that I can fight the sin nature. I don't think I'm tough enough. Don't allow the sin nature to control you. Why? Because it does not have to control you. Very important. Christians all sin. Christians do not have to. Repeat. We all sin. But we don't have to. Well, if we don't have to, that means we sin by choice. Not really. I thought I was a victim. I thought I couldn't help it. I thought I just sin so much because I got a sin nature. Well, that will not stand up to the teaching of Romans chapter 6. It just won't do it. Because Romans 6 is going to keep coming back and saying, look, I put it all out for you. There's your shirt, there's your pants, there's your socks, there's your shoes. And you sit there and say, I'm naked. Put on your clothes. But I don't have any clothes. Yes, you do. They're laying right there. Put them on. And you will go naked until you put on your clothes. And that's what God is saying. When you went to the cross, you died with Him, and the connection with the sin nature was cut. Is the sin nature still there? Yeah. Any testimonies? Anyone who has no leaning or inclination or temptation or drawing on the inside to do the wrong thing? That's there all the time. But we need to understand our relationship to it. We don't have to tuck under. We don't have to say, I cry monkey. We don't have to. If we understand first the dynamics of it and then how it can be ruined by self-dependency, Romans 7, and how the Holy Spirit can control, and that's what Paul means. By be filled, be controlled, walk by the Holy Spirit is to let that new dynamic that is really there loose. So he's going to be saying, I laid out all your clothes, but Sir Christian, I will not put your pants on for you. You've got to do that, and that's Romans 6, 12, and 13. The equipment's there. We need to act on. This is a really freeing chapter. And remember when we did the series on volition, there is nothing more helpful and freeing than to know that I'm not a victim. And I can make choices that will put me off in the right direction and cause me to grow. Father, we're thankful for this chapter. Help us to understand it in Christ's name. Amen.